I'd like for us to pray as we prepare our hearts for God's word this morning. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your people, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit that's here this morning to reveal truth to us, to help us to understand, and to help us apply the truths, the principles of the Word of God in our daily living. I pray, Father, that we would truly be doers of your word, that you might be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I really believe that God is glorified in our lives when we are blessed. When we have the blessing of God on our homes, then the world sees, and God is the one that is glorified. We're in a series right now just called Home on the Rock, and it is about seeing the blessing of God on our homes, that when the storms of life come against our home is going to stand because we've built it on a good foundation, on the Word of God and the principles of God. And I want you to know that this morning, I'm not preaching at anybody. I know sometimes it can kind of come across that way from us preachers, but I want you to know that I live right where you live. I've walked where you walk. I'm one of you. And the truths that I share with you this morning, I want to encourage you. I want to help you. And I don't want anybody to get under condemnation. I want you to receive this as it is, as instruction from the Word of God. One little boy came home from church one Sunday, and he announced to his family that he was going to be a minister when he grew up. And his parents were kind of wondering how he received this call. And so they asked him, they said, well, what made you decide that this morning? He said, well, you know, I was just sitting there being quiet like you're supposed to. And I thought, well, you know, if I got to go to church anyway, it'd be a lot more fun to be the one up there yelling at everybody than the one sitting out here being quiet. And it may kind of seem like that sometimes, but I want you to know the truth is that's not at all the way it's intended to be. That I just want to help you. And this morning, we're going to talk about something that every parent has had struggles and battles with. And that is, we're going to talk about raising godly children. This is going to be part one. There will be one more message about raising godly children. There will be a part two. But there probably could be a part 10, but we're going to hold it to two, all right? But this morning, raising godly children, and I know that it is a challenge. It is a daunting challenge, something that many of us feel inadequate and feel like it's impossible, like we just can't do it. But remember, Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. And so I want to encourage your faith and want to challenge you, though. Remember, Jesus said, Matthew 7:24, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. You build your house on the rock when you build it on the principles of God's word. When you obey the word of the Lord, you're building a life that the storms of life will not be able to tear down. I know that raising godly children is one of the greatest challenges of life. But every sincere believer wants to see their children serving God, wants to see them grow up obeying God and experiencing the blessings of God on their life and all that God has for them. That's what we want. And so I want to encourage you this morning to not give up, to not give in, to not just think it's too much, but instead to realize that with God, you can do it, that all things are possible. You know, I want to address this quickly. Those of you that, like me, you have adult children, sometimes it can be, we look back and we have all those would've, should've, could've. So you think about the things that you could have done differently, and maybe a message like this where we talk about raising godly children, you might think, oh yeah, I messed up. I shouldn't have done that and should have done it this way. And I just want to encourage you that God is bigger than our mistakes and our failures. And I'm not saying that mistakes don't have any consequences, but I'm just saying to you that the same God who can save a wretch like me, the same God who can save one of us, amen, and turn our life around, listen, he's the same God that we're praying to for our adult children. And sometimes, you know, when they're young, you think it's difficult, but then when they're adult children, you can feel totally helpless. It can be kind of like watching a train wreck in slow motion. You see it, you see what's going to happen, and yet you can't do anything about it, except you can pray. And praying is powerful. Amen. Because prayer is how we get God's help, and God can intervene. So if you've got adult children and they seem to be heading the wrong way, let me just tell you, it's never too late for God. So be encouraged. Prayer is powerful. And as parents, we should always be standing in faith and believe in God. James Dobson said, child rearing is like baking a cake. You don't realize you have a disaster till it's too late. Well, there's some truth in that. And I hope this morning that we who are still raising children, that you'll get a hold of some of these principles, because the best way to avoid a disaster is to follow the instructions, build on the principles of God's word. Proverbs 22 and 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I don't do this real often, but this morning I'm going to take the time to just address a couple of false teachings about this scripture. It has become the new thing to reinterpret this verse of scripture. One of those is to say that this promise is no longer a promise. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And many have said, oh, well, it's not really a promise. It's just kind of sort of a general principle. But I want to warn you that the same people are the same people who teach that sometimes God heals and sometimes he doesn't. So when you pray for healing, maybe he will, maybe he won't. It might be his will for you to have cancer and die. And so when it comes to child rearing, they say, well, it might work and it might not, you know. We just don't ever know. You kind of got about, you know, 50-50 chance there. And maybe they'll serve God, and maybe they'll come back someday, and maybe they won't. I want to tell you that in the same way we believe God for healing, in the same way we believe God for provision. See, when you're walking in health and all of a sudden you get sick, that doesn't mean that God is not true to his word. That's the time that you need to use your faith and stand on the principles of God's word and believe him for healing. And when your child is going the wrong way, when you're having a storm, I'm telling you, storms come to us all. And so when you're having a battle, a difficulty in raising your child, that's the very time that you need to stand on the word of God. If we throw away the promises, then we don't have anything but what the world has. Just to kind of hope for the best, is hope it turns out. No, we need to be people of faith, standing on the promises of God and believing God. So don't buy into that baloney. Listen, if you think that it's just a general principle, I'm telling you, we'll end up with our kids being one of those that generally didn't make it. Now we need to be standing in faith for our children and standing on the promises of God's word. It is a command and a promise. The other thing that's just become popular, it's in my opinion, it's real new agey. It's just kind of trying to make the principles or twist the Bible to fit some of the ideas of the day. There is one paraphrase. It's not even really a translation. There is a paraphrase that basically interprets this. Instead of training up your child in the way he should go, it basically changes it into saying something to the effect of that you've got to help your child find their way in what they're gifted at. In other words, you know, you're supposed to help your child figure out if they're supposed to be a doctor or a burger flipper, that's your job as a parent, is to help them discover themselves, help them find the way that they were intended to go. I'm telling you, you need to stick with the scripture. All of the major translations and all of the rest of scripture back this up, that you are supposed to train your child. And it's not talking about helping them find themselves. It's talking about raising them as godly children. Ephesians 6:4 says, training in the admonition of the Lord. You train them. That's what it's talking about. So I encourage you. This is both a command and a promise. What a great promise. And you can say, but I know so-and-so, and they raise both their kids the same, and one's serving God and one's not. Listen, I don't have that all figured out. In the same way that I know sometimes we prayed for this one and they were healed of cancer, and we prayed for this one and they weren't. But I do know this, that when you have a health battle, if you want to look around you and base your faith on what happened with other people, you will lose that battle, because you are walking by sight, not by faith. And the same is true for your kids. I don't understand it. I don't have it all figured out, but I do know this, that if you're going to believe God, you can't look at somebody else's experience. You can't even go by your own experience. The things that we see are temporal, the Bible says, and they are subject to the eternal things. The eternal things are the truths of the Word of God. And so as you stand in faith on the Word of God, you know that God will keep His Word. Raising godly children, such a tremendous responsibility. It requires diligence, work, effort, time, and prayer. One man said, if we paid no more attention to our plants than we have to our children, we'd be living in a jungle of weeds. Well, there's some truth to that in our culture. But we, as believers, we want to step up and do what God has called us to do. Whatever God may have called you to do in this world, I want you to know, as a mom and a dad, you need to realize that your greatest calling is to your own kids. How terrible it is to reach the world and not reach your own family. But you can do it. Remember, if you're going to raise godly children, you can't leave the Lord out of the equation. You're not doing it alone. Dr. James Dobson says 80% of parents feel like they are failures. Wow. There's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of condemnation that parents feel, that somehow I haven't done my job, or I can't do this. I'm not good at this. And I want to encourage you today. I want to communicate to you a biblical perspective on parenting so that you can have confidence, not confidence in yourself, but confidence in the Lord, that He will give you the strength. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll give you what you need to be the parent that you need to be. Remember, our confidence and our faith isn't based on ourselves. Y'all forgive me if I kind of get in your business this morning, but I'm tired of seeing this stuff from even believers saying you got to believe in yourself. You better try believing in God instead, because you will let yourself down. But when your faith is in God and you realize you're not doing this alone, you're not raising kids alone, you're doing this hand in hand with the Lord, who raised godly children by faith. Now, one of the things we need to do to raise godly children by faith is we need to get rid of some of the negative attitudes of the world about children. See, there's this faithless mindset about raising children in our culture that they're just seen as a negative, and a lot of times even as a curse. Well, listen to the scripture. Psalms 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. I just can't imagine trying to raise children without the Lord's help. How futile. That is impossible. No, you labor in vain. All of your efforts are wasted without the Lord's help. It says, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he gives his beloved sleep. You see, as we trust in the Lord, then we're able to have peace. We know that God is going to help us. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. They are a blessing. And listen to the next part. The fruit of the womb is a reward. A lot of people in our culture just see children as a headache, as a problem. It'll mess up your life. Well, it will mess up your life. There's no doubt about how it will affect your schedule when you have your first. But it'll mess it up in a good way. And I'm just telling you that where the world wants to depict children in a negative light, you know, more and more people are having less and less children in our world, around the world. And I'm not preaching to you this morning that you need to go home and have more kids. I'm just telling you that you need to see children as a blessing. The Bible says that they are a reward. They're a heritage from the Lord. And we need to have a faith-filled mindset that our children are a blessing and that they will grow up and serve God with a whole heart. Expect to have godly children. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. They are a blessing. And no doubt there will be storms. We're all going to go through battles. And when things don't go right with your child, that is the very time to stand in faith and believe God. Here's something that we all know. In this world, you're going to have trouble. If you're going to raise kids, you're going to have some trouble. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Now I know that some people be all real spiritual, super spiritual. And you say, well, how does that apply in your life? Well, they don't know. They just know that, you know, surely it doesn't apply to something as silly as raising kids. Surely it does. What matters more than your home, your family, your children? Yes. And you're going to have trouble. We've all figured that out, right? Well, then why not take the promise and the blessing that he speaks? He says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You're trying to raise godly children in an ungodly world. You need God's help. But you can overcome because guess what? Jesus has already overcome the world. 1 John 5:4, it says, whatever is born of God, say that's me. Well, I got a few of you. Whatever's born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. See, this is how you overcome. This is how you're going to raise godly children. It's by faith, trusting God, relying upon him, standing on his promises. So, it's not arrogance, but it is faith. When we decide, I'm going to raise godly children, my children will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15, Joshua did it. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. He made up his mind. And I'm telling you, all the days of his life, his children and his descendants, they served the Lord. We will serve the Lord. You see, religious America says, now, you know, your faith is fine for you, but you just kind of throw your kids out there, and in the midst of all of this craziness in our country, let them kind of figure out if they can find it for themselves. What a bunch of baloney. So many lying voices. You need to be the one voice in their life that tells them the truth and tell them, we will serve the Lord. One mother said, well, you know, I just don't think that I should make my 14-year-old go to church. If they don't want to go, they don't have to go. I guess you take that same approach about school. Oh, no, now wait a minute. They got to have an education. I'm going to make them go to school. Get out of that bed. You're going to school. But when it comes to the things of God, well, it doesn't really matter if it's just up to them. Listen, I understand that they have to eventually make Jesus Lord of their life of their own choice. I understand that you can't ram religion down a kid's throat. I also understand that they need instruction and guidance. They need someone in their life. When they're 14 years old, you need to say, "We're going to church. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I got to say, if you do it right, you're not ramming religion down their throat. You're teaching them to love Jesus. You're teaching them that Jesus is the most important thing in your life and in their life. That's what you're teaching them. You're not ramming religion down their throat. You just got to make up your mind that no matter what they teach at school, your children are going to serve God. Whether you put them in public school, home school, or a Christian school, I'm just telling you, you got to make up your mind. Your children are going to serve God. Now, I'm just going to throw this out there. I just want to help you this morning, and so I'm going to give a little bit of personal experience and examples, but some of you homeschool, and I think that's great. Some of you put your kids in Christian school, and by the way, I'm just going to say, just because they're in a Christian school doesn't mean that you don't have to monitor what's going on, because there's a lot of little devils that get put in Christian school too. Some of them got kicked out of public school, that's why they're in a Christian school. But even if your kids are in a secular school, and I understand the dangers of that, believe me, but I'm just telling you, you have those daily conversations with your kids. You know what's going on with them. You know when the teacher tells them there's not a God. You know when they got a library book and it has something immoral in it. You see, you got to stay involved with your kids. And if they're in a public school, you need to be especially involved with what's going on with them. But I got to tell you, no matter what is going on in the public school, my kids are going to serve the Lord. See, what we've had is a bunch of excuses. And what we need is to have faith that we can do this, no matter what is going on in our culture. It doesn't matter what Hollywood puts out. Our kids are going to serve the Lord. They're not in charge of our kids. We are. Hollywood's not going to dictate the morals of my children. No matter who's in the White House, who's in office, it doesn't matter. My children are going to serve the Lord. We got to get this, church, that it's up to us, that by faith we're going to do this. We determine this. Me and my house will serve the Lord. You know, even down at the church, you got phony Christians. I don't care if every kid in the youth group is a hypocrite. My kid's going to serve the Lord. And by the way, we got a great youth group on fire. Love God. And I don't know that they're all perfect, but I'm just telling you, if your kid is hanging out with these kids, they're blessed. They're in a good place to be. But we're doing this by faith. It's a faith declaration. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Second, we have to show them. You got to model it for them. You have to be their example. It's not do as I say, not as I do. That doesn't work. You know, I hope that this has finally stopped, but I know for years and years and years, it was kind of the thing that parents would take their kids to church, pull up, open the door and say, "Get out, we'll be back later to pick you up." I'm going to tell you the truth. That doesn't work. Now, if you're in here this morning, obviously you didn't do that this morning, but I'm just telling you, if you're tempted, it doesn't work. Because you are their model. You are their example. You've got to show them every day by how you live that Jesus is the most important thing in your life. Now, none of us is perfect. I'm not talking about that you have to live a perfect life in order for your kids to be godly and grow upright. None of us can meet that standard. What I am saying to you, though, is that you need to have a sincere commitment to God, that He truly is first in your life. And as we said, the first message of this series, that it needs to be evidenced in your life by the way that you spend your time, your treasure, and your talent. That there needs to be proof of it, that God really is first in your life. And I'm telling you, this is where the breakdown is for so many Christian kids. It is not that the pull of the world was too strong. It is that the faith of their parents had no draw at all for them. What we need is parents who have a passion for Jesus, who love the Lord. And kids grow up in a home where God is truly first, and the parents really, I'm not talking about being weird and religious, and I know there are a lot of kids that have grown up in religious homes where it was all about a bunch of religion and a bunch of rules, and those kids rebel against it. I'm talking about where Jesus is the most important thing. Your relationship with Jesus is the most important thing, and you're teaching your kids how to have a relationship with Jesus, but you're modeling it for them. You got to show them how to do that. We reproduce what we are, not what we say. And I've said this before, but it needs to be said often. Your kids need to know that Jesus is more important than football or basketball or baseball. They need to know that Jesus is more important than some TV show. Jesus is more important than hunting and fishing and getting to spend a day out at the lake or playing golf. Jesus is the most important thing in your life. Your kid has to know that. If you want to raise godly children, you have to be their example. According to a 50-year study of Christian and non-Christian families, most young adults who follow Christ, in other words, who are truly committed believers, either come from non-Christian homes or from homes where they grew up in love with Jesus because mom and dad were in love with Jesus. Most Christian young adults who really serve God or in church, serving God, came from either homes where they were totally sold out in love with Jesus, or they didn't even go to church at all. They were non-Christian homes. The least likely young adult to be serving God is the one who grew up in a lukewarm home where they went to church once in a while, but God just wasn't that big a deal. They learned about religion, but not relationship. It just wasn't important. Homes where they were indifferent, apathetic, not really committed to Jesus. I know it's pretty shocking, but our children actually have a better chance of turning out to be true followers of Jesus Christ if we didn't even take them to church, than if we teach them about God and church as something that's not really important. It's just kind of a little side thing. And I've said this often, but you can't date Jesus. That's a religious culture in America. Well, God's there when you need Him. You know there's some truth in that. But Jesus never intended to be, you know, just the guy that we go to when we're in a bind. Jesus wants to be our everything. And if we want to raise our children to be godly children, to truly serve God, live for God, then we've got to be committed. We've got to be sold out to God. You're training your children. Whether we train them right or not, we are training them by the way that we live our life and the things that we do. Third, to raise godly children, you have to protect them. Jesus said, we're in this world, but we're not of it. We're not to be taken out of the world, but we are to live a holy life in this world. And here's the problem. The biggest problem with raising godly children is that we live in such an ungodly world all around us. And now, because of the media and electronics, if we don't monitor it, if we don't safeguard against this, all of this immorality and ungodly way of thinking, it all comes right into our home. So I'm telling you, you've got to protect your children. Every parent wants to protect their children from physical harm. I mean, if you knew that your child was in danger in some way, you know, you want to see a mama get mad. I mean, you just endanger their child and all of a sudden they get superhuman on you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we'll do anything to protect our children from physical harm. And yet so many parents have been deceived that somehow it's not their place to protect their children from spiritual harm. Listen, the dangers are even more real. You need to step in. You need to protect your children. The time and the day that we live in, there is such an onslaught of immorality and just evil in this world. You've got to protect them. Oh, especially, you know, the younger they are, the more difficult it is for a child to be able to filter out all of that evil that comes against people. And I'm going to get to the nuts and bolts of this in a second, but I want you to understand that it is your place. You do have the authority. It is your responsibility, and we need to step in and protect our children. You know, as they get older, we hope that they learn to choose between right and wrong for themselves and make the right choices, because we know they're going to live with the consequences or the blessings of those choices. But when they're little, it's really up to the parent to set boundaries and to protect their children from all of the evil that's in this world. The Bible says that in the end times, in 2 Timothy 3:1-2, he says, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, and on the list goes. But he makes it so clear, you know, the time that we're living in, it's that day, it's that time. It is a terrible time. You got to protect your kids in this terrible time. There's a story in Newsweek magazine where they interviewed teenagers and talked to teenagers. They, in their opinion, almost all teenagers to some degree are estranged or isolated from their parents. They talked to one young lady who said, well, my friends are the greatest influence in my life. I see my mom about an hour a day and none on the weekend. I'm with my friends all day long. And they tell us now that that is the norm for most teenagers, that their friends have become the greatest influence in their life. And I'm telling you this morning that it doesn't have to be that way. You need to take back that role as the one who is influencing your children. It'll cost you some time and effort, but I'm telling you, as a parent, you need to make time so that you can step in. You need to protect your children. You need to know what's going on with them. I know that when my kids were younger, especially when they were teenagers, there probably were some people who thought that we were way too strict, that we were going to mess them up. My kids probably thought we were way too strict. Listen, if you're doing a good job, at some point your kid is going to think you're too strict. You know why? Because you told them they couldn't do something they wanted to do. If you let your kid do everything they want to do, there's something wrong with you. Because they don't have a wisdom to always make the right choices. But I've just got to tell you, when my kid got on the phone, I said, "Who is that?" And if they said to me, "Which, my friends, is none of your business," I'd have said, "You're grounded from the phone for the week." I said, "What were y'all talking about?" If they said, "Well, I'm not going to tell you," that'd be the last time you're talking to them. I'm trying to encourage you, empower you. Listen, some of you parents, if you've listened to this stuff from the world and from your kids sometime, don't let your kid tell you how to parent. And who cares how they're doing it? What they're doing ain't working. Now, if you've got a 17-year-old and you've never, ever stepped in, it's going to be pretty tough. The time to start doing this, the easy time to start doing this is from the time they're little. And if you do it from then, it just gets easier and easier until by the time they're 17, you don't have to ask them because you know they're going to make the right choices. But when they're little, they need somebody to watch over them. Now, much more than ever. Back then, you know, they talked on the house line or then maybe we got a cell phone somewhere along the way. But now they all have their own cell phones. And they tell me that one of the biggest problems for teenage boys now is not just looking at pornography on the computer, but looking at it on their cell phone. And we got parents that think that their kid needs a right to privacy. My 14-year-old, it's none of my business what he does on his phone. Yes, it is. You're the parent. You need to parent your child. If you're going to raise godly children, they need some protection from an ungodly world. Would you just stand by if your kid said, "Yeah, me and Greg, we're going to go over, we're going to walk down to the adult bookstore and look at some stuff." You'd be like, "What?" And yet you let them have a phone and you never monitor it, you never check to see what they're doing, where they can do the same thing on their phone. Now, I'm not against cell phones, but I'm just telling you, we need some parenting going on to protect some kids. We got young ladies. What a crazy time we're living in where young girls take inappropriate pictures of themselves and text them to some guy and ends up on the internet. They need to be protected. Somebody needs to step in and guide them and help them. And I just want to encourage you, it is your place. Don't let this culture tell you that you don't have a right. Take authority in your home. Take authority over the TV. I remember back when my kids were little, there was a boy that lived across the street, and as a reward for good behavior, his parents would let him watch X-rated movies. Now, hopefully, most parents are smarter than that to use it as an X-rated, use an X-rated movie as a reward, but there's a whole lot of parents whose kids are watching that kind of stuff just because they're negligent. They don't know what's going on with their kid. You need to know what's going on. I've had a few parents come to me over the years and ask me for advice, and I'm going to say again, not that I've done everything right, I've made a lot of mistakes, but I will tell you that we decided we were going to church. And not just because I was a pastor, because there were a few time periods where I wasn't a pastor, and guess what? We didn't miss a service. I don't mean Sundays. I mean we didn't miss a service. Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday night even then. We limited the amount of TV they could watch. We limited their internet. We limited the video games. We asked who was calling and what they were talking about. And I'm just telling you, you need to be involved in your kid's life. Don't be afraid to make some rules and some guidelines to protect them. They say the average teenager today has six or seven hours a day of screen time. TV, computer, cell phone. 6 to 7 hours a day. They need some parental intervention. I don't know how they get their homework done. By the way, I'm so mean, there came a time and a day when I told my kids, you sit here at this desk, you don't get up, you don't do anything till your homework's done. I know y'all think I'm mean, don't you? I'm just telling you, I didn't pay for any college either. They both got scholarships. You know when that started? You sit right there and you do that homework, don't get up until you're done. And I wish that my parents would have been stricter with me about my homework. They may hate you for it for a little while, but they'll appreciate it later. I know some of the teenagers are just thinking, I wish he'd shut up. Thank you, sister. Before I move on, I want to just touch on this one more time. Listen, the internet is a very dangerous place. Pornography is so readily available. Doesn't matter what age they are. If they can get on the internet, they can see anything. And it you know, just out of curiosity, some kid may look for something. Sometimes even just by accident. You don't want your children to be exposed to something. Listen, here's the statistics on that. The largest consumers of internet pornography are teens from 12 to 17. 90% of 8 to 16-year-olds have viewed pornography online. 90%. You know that other 10%? That's the 10% of parents that use some kind of parental software or don't allow their child to use the internet unsupervised. 90% of 8 to 16-year-olds have viewed pornography online. They've seen images that they should have never had in their brain. You need to protect your children. Either monitor their use personally or get some software that will prevent them from going to the wrong kinds of sites. I remember working in a church office one time, and there was a young lady in the office next to mine. And I remember she called me in. She was absolutely horrified because she was looking for Hillsong's church in Australia, and she typed Australia and she misspelled it. You know, isn't it amazing how evil this world is? You can just misspell a word on a search, and all of a sudden it pulled up this horrific pornographic image on the church computer. And she was like, and I'm just telling you, that can happen. And you just need to protect your children from the stuff in this world. Fourth, to raise godly children, you got to teach them. You have to teach them. You have to teach them. I don't understand why so many people are so upset about schools not teaching the Bible. I don't want the public schools to teach my children the Bible. It's not their job. It's not their responsibility. It is the parents' responsibility. You are supposed to teach your children values. You are supposed to teach your children what's right and what's wrong. You are supposed to teach your children the Bible. Deuteronomy 6:6-9, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall teach them diligently to your children. What are you teaching? The commands of Scripture. You're teaching them what's right and what's wrong. You talk to your kids about the Bible. You need to have dinner or some opportunity. Really, it needs to be pretty much every day, but on a very regular basis, you need to have an opportunity to talk to your kids about life and about what's right and what's wrong, and use those talks to teach them what the Bible says. Make sure that they're on the right track. You want to raise godly children? You got to teach them. Diligently teach your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. In other words, you're supposed to be talking about the scriptures all the time. Now, for some parents, I realize that's going to put a challenge on you to learn the Bible yourself. Well, you need to, because it's that important. You're going to raise godly children. You are the number one person who teaches them the Bible. I know some of you are thinking, now wait a minute, the church, that's the church's job. No, it's not. We are here to equip. We are here to come alongside and to help, but we cannot take the place of a parent. We can help, we can support, but I'm telling you, the Bible says your children, teach them diligently. It's really up to the parent. It is the parent's responsibility. Doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes a parent who's in agreement with God to raise a child. Now, that being said, I think it's wonderful when the grandparents are helping and they got good, godly Christian friends. And, you know, we believe in that so much here at Grace Church. It's, you know, our youth group, besides a great youth service, they also have a lot of fellowship activities because we really believe that it's important for them to have good Christian friends and think that that makes a difference. It, you know, who they're hanging out with makes a lot of difference in the kinds of things that they get involved in. But I want you to understand this, though. We don't have to have the government's help. It's not about what anybody else is doing. No, it is about you raising your child to serve the Lord. And I want to say one more time, with God's help, you can do it. You can raise godly children who will serve the Lord and be blessed. Obey God and experience the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. I want you to stand with me. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I'd like for our prayer partners to go ahead and come. Father, I thank you that you love us so much. Oh, Lord, that there are none of us who are beyond your help. Lord, I just thank you for the children, the homes that are here today, Lord. And I pray that you just help us to do what we need to do. Help us, Lord, to raise godly children. Help us, Lord, to be the examples we need to be. Lord, to protect them. Lord, to teach them. I pray, Father, that this morning you would just do a work in the hearts of every mom and every dad. Lord, that we would just know in our heart what we need to do and that we would, by faith, rise up to do it. I ask for your help, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I dismiss you this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come for prayer. And I know there's some of you that are here this morning that you realize you yourself, as a mom, a dad, you need to make a real commitment to the Lord. Some of you have been committed at times in the past and maybe you've just gotten busy with life and drifted away, but you need to make a fresh commitment to God this morning. Your child needs to know that God is first in your life. And I just encourage you to do that before you leave. Just start fresh and new with God. And some of you this morning, probably many of us, at one time or another, we've been there. I know I have. But some of you this morning, you feel like you've made too many mistakes. And you think, well, there's no way my kid will serve God. I'm so full of faults and weaknesses. But I want to tell you that God is merciful. And He is bigger than your mistakes. I know that as a parent, I myself, many, many times over the years, I felt like I had failed and made mistakes, and I just wondered sometimes how my kids would do. And I think most of you know they turned out okay. But when Jonathan was 10 years old, he wrote me a note one day, left for me. It says, "Hi, Daddy. You're cool." I've kept that for all these years because I don't get called cool very often. But in the midst of being a strict parent, other people thought I was doing wrong, and at times I made a lot of mistakes. And I'm just telling you that your children are very resilient and forgiving, and the Lord is so able to help you. And so this morning, if you're one of those that you feel like you've made mistakes and you just want to turn that over to God, just be free from that guilt, I want to tell you, God is well able. He's well able. Before you leave this morning, I just encourage you to come for prayer, whatever burden might be on your heart, and just be free from that so you can go out of here with confidence and faith and trust in God. I'm going to dismiss the congregation with a blessing. This blessing has been something I just felt like we were supposed to do for this series because I really believe that the world around us should see that our homes are blessed. God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us that Your way may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. Amen. Lord bless you.